VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, welcome back to The Ruck. This is Owen Slot.
Ireland, then. Let's move on to Ireland. So I think that they will take a step on between now and then, considering they've got a young team.
How good are they at the moment? In terms of Grand Slam winners, Six Nations winners, that's their third Six Nations in 5 years. How good a team do we think they are?
They're brilliantly coached. As you said, they're young. They've got strength in depth. And with people like Lama coming through and Stockdale developing, what they can do, they haven't done for 3 years, even when they were winning titles. They don't just keep ball, they do something with it. Their scrum is better than it's ever been. They have a core of players. Furlong is world class. They've got Sean O'Brien when he comes back, is world class. 9 and 10, you're world class there. And you've got top class players all around, youngsters like James Ryan coming through.
Gary Ringrose
could prove himself world class. Right now, if I was Steve Hansen, I would make Ireland my biggest threat.
If you look at the Ireland team, you know, Dan Levy would have been a lot of people's teams of the tournament. It was their third choice open side. Mm. Gary Ringrose,
third choice
outside centre. They have the depth that Eddie Jones just wanted to spend the last year building. They have it in spades.
And Schmidt's brought through these young players well, hasn't he? Eddie Jones seems to have played around the edges with looking at people, bringing them in for a week or so. And I admit on the Underhill and Curry thing, he had got unlucky that they'd been injured and he wanted to bring them through. But Schmidt's been a masterclass in how to refresh your squad with young players.
Absolutely, and it's they haven't been secretive about it. After 2015, with what happened with the injuries they had there, remember they had five key injuries to players through that World Cup, and they said it was a disaster, and we didn't deserve to go through the quarterfinals, and that they haven't been secretive about saying we are going to blood these players. Look at the depth of options they have in the back row, from guys that they can bring in. So Alex mentioned Levy there, but you've got guys like Jack Conan who can come in, who does not look out of place in that back row. You look at the front row, there's a couple guys in the under-20s who are performing particularly well that people are very excited about at the moment in their front row. And then you look at someone like Marty Moore, who's coming back just in case they need him for a tour, because let's remember, also, you know, there could be special summit. They've still got Tyke Byrne to come in.
I know, Tyke Byrne as well. Coming back next
year. Absolutely, and massive. They're heading off to Australia this summer, and they'll probably rest some people, and they'll give some guys a run out. But that's a fantastic opportunity for them to build for 2019 as well. It all just seems to be stacking up in favour of blowing those guys. Now, they could still have a blow-up with lots and lots of injuries. Everyone has to deal with that problem at a Rugby World Cup.
Well, on injuries, their big worry, their big concern is 9 and 10.
They're
massively built on those world-class players. You say if those two go, that is where they are frail still.
9, they cannot afford to lose Murray. But I would say one of the if I was Irish, one of the things I would have enjoyed most about Twickenham was the way Joey Carberry came on and he was seamless. This kid is an exceptional talent, and I think, you know, he will be focused now as a 10. It's ideal, isn't it? Because the IRFU decide who plays when. He will get a lot of game time behind Sexton. He will play in the shadow of Sexton. He'll become Sexton with a little bit more pace there. And I see him being an absolutely top-class, not replacement 10, a top-class 10. I don't think there's any problem there at all. Murray, it's a different matter. But, you know, even having said that, they've got some good ones coming through at scrum half as well. You wouldn't want to lose 9 or 10. Well, you're right.
Actually,
they've got a lot coming
and
through.
When they lost Murray for the Six Nations game in Dublin a year ago, and we were all going, oh, well, they've lost one of their key men.
Marmion came on and played
thank
beautifully.
Thank you, Barnsley. Marmion, that was the name I was looking for.
Didn't he? Yeah. And McGrath's a very good player. You know, I see a lot of these guys. I watch a huge amount of Pro 14, and they are all very sharp players.
We have pretty much carved up England. We haven't discussed so much some of the other teams. If you look at Wales, Scotland, France and Italy, which nation do you think should be most happy with the way they have progressed or otherwise in the Six Nations? They all seem to have taken steps in some respects.
I think Wales probably performed higher than... And Warren Gatland said pre-tournament that he felt they could go and win it. I think realistically, with the number of key lions they were missing, that was bravado from him. I think they've performed above expectation, given who was missing, and as we've touched on, given opportunities to other players. And I think they're probably the happiest of the rest in how it's gone. Scotland had their moments, still can't perform away from home. Italy, for me, performed pretty much how I expected. There's still kind of shoots of hope there, but ultimately they're not good enough. Don't have the quality. The thing I've enjoyed most about France is watching Mathieu Bastereau actually come back in and really almost become happy in himself and find a leadership role in that team. But in answer to your question, I would say Wales.
Well, Alan's Scotland, lots of exciting moments, but no consistency.
I think that's the key thing, is the consistency. And it's not in danger of becoming. It has now firmly settled itself into being a cliche. Scotland's adventures away from home still can't get there. But the thing as well is, and I'll get to the positive, but I just want to get this out there first, is we've spoken about so often how adventurous and how exciting Scotland are pouring forward, and fantastic. But the lack of try bonuses that Scotland have had in this Six Nations, allied with their away form, is something that will need to be addressed. So when Gregor Townsend says there are lots of things we need to work on, that is what he's talking about. Because it's all very well doing it at Murrayfield, and against England it looks fantastic, but it takes the gloss off the fact that they couldn't do it at the Principality Stadium, for example, in that first game where they were so hyped and everyone's talking about all the players missing for Wales. They weren't capable of doing it. It's just that little mental stumbling block that they need to get over. However, that being said, you know, you cannot underestimate how important that win against England was for the national psyche, but also for this team to say, right, we've come through something that is culturally significant for this nation, and we've come out on the right side of it. To take that into their summer tour, they've got a summer tour where they're touring the Americas. It's not something that fans will be deeply concerned about. It's an opportunity for them to rest people, to try some things out ahead of the World Cup.
But do away wins on that tour mend the psychological problem they have?
I don't think that does. It's one for experimentation. But I agree with Alex. On the other side of that, Wales, if you're a Welsh fan, you've got to be fantastically happy with the way things have gone. And key players were missing, but by the end, that last game against France, which I was at, and there weren't too many eyes on it, but it was still a massive thing for them to be in a game that was scooched by a point, and to have Alan Wynne-Jones still performing at that level. He is a man that doesn't seem to be losing form.
Yeah.
Through this stage in his career, and to have Tolupe Faletau coming back from the injuries that he's had, and to be making breaks like that in the last game of the Six Nations, that is a fine sight for Welsh fans.
Yeah, you chuck Sam Warburton back into that back row. I mean, you look at people.
Jonathan Davis got to come back in,
but that back row, Aaron Shingler,
Josh Navidi's
and Josh Navidi, two players who Barnsley will watch a lot in the Pro 14, but had never really made that step up. Both of them, I thought, had really, really good tournaments.
And Tipperick, Davis, as I said earlier, they've got fantastic strength in depth. Moriarty. Can I mention Italy? They lost five games, but I think they took a significant step in the right direction. The last few years, I think they might have won one game in the last 3 years. So, they're not serial winners, okay. But in those years, they normally perform quite well at the start. They get stuck into someone, and then as the season dribbles on, they lose players and they end up getting hammered. What happened this time? They caught England when England actually, Ford and Farrell, showed that you play them together. They've got some class there. They caught Ireland, who, as we now know, are an extremely good team, who put them away. And then what happened? They went to Cardiff and they were competitive. They went to Marseille and they were competitive. They played Scotland at home and they got very close to winning it. They've unearthed in Mazzini, the fullback, a bloke who can give them something that they haven't had for a while. And I think more importantly, in Sebastian Negri, they've got an heir apparent to Parise. He doesn't have to carry the load on his own. Jake Pelledri's come through and done well.
Yeah, the Bristol boy.
My old captain, Pete Pelledri's son, a very good player. But Negri in particular, he gave them a carrying threat that England would have yearned for in this tournament. And I think the signs are very good for Italy.
That Pelledri is interesting. England have been so sort of competitive for these dual qualified nationals.
These are seven.
Where did they go wrong on that? Or does he? He's only a court. He's got a grandparent who's Italian, isn't he?
Let me tell you, when I joined Bristol, Pete Pelledri, I lodged at his house.
This is the father.
Pete is the father, who was Bristol captain and an outstanding open side himself. But Pete. He was a single man, and we weren't much up for cooking Sunday roast after a Bristol game. So we would go round Mother Pelledri's house on a Sunday, and if you said in front of Mother Pelledri that, only a quarter Italian, this house was pure Italian, it was fantastic, it was the long Sunday roast, everything about it culturally is Italian. You know, he might be grandson of, but you'll not hear me saying he's a quarter Italian. The Pelledris, believe me, are a Bristol Italian family, all the way
very
to
interesting.
The pasta.
You're listening to The Ruck, and we are back after this.
iOS helps you control which apps you share your exact location with. There's more to iPhone.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Off Air, the podcast with Jane Garvey and Fee Glover.
I go to the sink and I have some cheese.
You eat cheese in the sink?
Doesn't everybody?
Every Monday to Thursday, Jane and Fee keep the microphones on after their Times radio show.
I think if we were to do a Mr. and Mrs.
Oh, no,
yes. How would that go in the booth?
Badly. It would go very badly.
Unencumbered and off air.
Two tiny women with gobs.
Off Air, the podcast. Now available on the Times radio app.
Welcome back to The Ruck. And don't forget, you can sign up for the brand new Ruck email. Subscribers can go to thetimes.co.uk/bulletins. One other game that we have to mention was the big one yesterday, Belgium against Spain.
Yeah.
Spain needed a win to qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And over to you, Alan.
Yeah, and I'd be surprised if actually people that are listening haven't heard of this or seen it. But what happened is Spain needed to win this last game away to Belgium to qualify automatically for the Rugby World Cup. A lot of people had fancied Romania to be the team that had qualified, Georgia having already qualified for the World Cup from Rugby European Championship. What happened is that this game was officiated by an all Romanian team of referees.
I mean, it's just impossible to make that up, isn't it?
Well, there are layers to this. Okay, so what happened is Spain ended up losing the game. It descended into ugly scenes where the Spanish players confronted the match official. Their scrum half tried to grab him. One of their back rowers sarcastically clapped him. People tried to grab him. He had to be escorted from the field of play. There was a bit of a fracas with the Belgian teams as well, who you have to say it's no fault of their own, the Belgians. What happened, there were some emotional things said, and then the Spanish players eventually apologised for them. The vibe of this is that it's not a good look. Rugby Europe have come out since then and said that they picked their match officials before the tournament started. They were set in stone. And World Rugby is believed, you know, they have no say on who these people pick to be match officials. However, that's fine. There will be a review afterwards, and depending on what this review turns up, which they do with every game, after every major tournament, there will be a review of each match to see what happens. World Rugby might comment after that. Rugby Europe might have a finding where they say, hold their hands up, it shouldn't have happened. What makes this interesting, though, is that this happens in a week where the assistant referee for England versus Ireland, Marius van der Vesthuizen, as revealed by Alex here in the Times,
England might have won otherwise.
Yeah, he was with the England team for their training. There was a bit of a brouhaha about that. He was stood down by World Rugby. As far as I know, World Rugby don't have a say on who is picked to officiate the Six Nations either, and yet they've waded in on this. Now, if they wade in on this and they don't control who the officiators are, why can't they wade in before before this match, well, with the Romanian officials taken? But also, Spain had said to Rugby Europe, we do not want Romanian officials for this game that could send Romania through to the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah, they flagged it up beforehand, as did Alex for in England's case.
And that's the case. So, but there's also... it gets more and more murky. World Rugby can say... wait and see and say, look, we do not have a say in any of this. What they do have a say in is the Rugby World Cup. That's theirs. They look after that. This has a direct impact on who's playing who in the Rugby World Cup. So you can't ignore it. Another thing is that every match official will have a neutral watching them from the stands to assess their performance. That gets filtered back to World Rugby and Alain Roland, who looks after the referees there. So again, World Rugby have a little bit of say on that, on the review process. Then you put into the things, it gets more bizarre in that if there is a review, and I would say this now, Octavian Mereru is the president of Rugby Europe, who is a former Romania player. He may not be involved in any review, but I think purely for the optics alone, he must come out and say, I recuse myself from playing any part in the review here. Not because I believe that he would have any say on what happens, but purely because it would look better for them in an already disastrous PR faux pas. Then, of course, you look at the Romanians. I'm going to wrap this up now. Romania's coaches stepped down last week because they didn't believe that they were going to automatically qualify. Lynn Howells, Rob Moffat and Massimo Katita, who fans from Scotland will know looked after Edinburgh for a while, they were the coaching team with Romania who were given the job of getting Romania to the next World Cup, firmly believing that they would not automatically qualify. They stepped down.
Well, maybe that's
a job.
And now
Romania have automatically qualified.
Maybe it's a job for Eddie then. So then, yeah, he give them some bounce, couldn't he?
Maybe it's a job for the referee and the two assistant referees on the game. They've done it. They've got them qualified.
Absolutely. But the thing is
now, the opening game against.
Yeah. Now those coaches, as far as I believe, speaking to people in Romania this morning, there are meetings going to be held at the Romanian Union today, and there's not much being said in the press in Romania about what happens. So it's a case of wait and see. But this isn't one where all the governing bodies can just go, oh well, something's set in stone so we can't touch it. It has to be addressed so that something like this can never happen again. So mistakes ludicrous. Happen, but this can't happen again.
It's so ludicrous. Ian Tempest, from an RFU referee, I think, did the Germany game. Why did they not just send him to do the Belgium game instead? And there's no debate.
Yeah, just a little bit of flex. It just takes... it's a worrying word, common sense, but this case is absolutely right. You look at that and just say, hey, this can't happen. Sorry, guys, it might be set in stone, but we're just going to smash the wall down. We have to have someone else.
Absolutely. And the other thing as well is, the most important thing of all this that's kind of getting ignored a little bit is, it's the Rugby World Cup. You know, it cannot be a thing that's left to chance and can be people talking behind hand saying, that shouldn't have happened, here's what really should have happened. Because World Rugby, at the very start of this process for qualification of the Rugby World Cup...
Alan, are you actually Spanish?
Yeah.
They sent Christmas. I mean, I know it's a big issue, but...
Yeah, but World Rugby sent Nigel Owens to the Caribbean to referee the first game that's kicked off the process of qualifying for this World Cup. Neither of the teams competing in that had any chance of making the Rugby World Cup, but they wanted to make a big deal of it. But then we come into an issue here of qualification for the Rugby World Cup, and it's just sort of shrugging of shoulders and going, oh, well, that was decided months ago, we can't change anything.
Owen, can you imagine the football qualifier, Sweden, and knocked out Italy? Can you imagine Italy had been knocked out by Sweden and they'd have played a World Cup playoff and it had been three Swedish officials?
It's
amateur.
It's embarrassing for the game. It's embarrassing for the podcast. We're associated with it. I mean, we're all made to look foolish here.
You're right.
Yeah, there's no one survives this one. OK, thank you, gents. We will bow out with a highlight from the Six Nations from each of us. Alex, you want to go first?
Yeah, I noted down two performances, Furlong against England and Farrell against Wales, but the wow moment was Finn Russell's pass.
Damn you.
You can share that.
No, I'm not going to share it.
It was just the moment that just... A bit like watching that, that Lions try in the first test in the summer. It was just the moment that you just thought... It was a moment of genius.
Especially when you viewed it from above. You're at that camera angle from above.
Yeah,
very good.
The moment he threw it... watching it live, I felt it was going to be intercepted. But actually, when you see it executed from above... Joseph was out of the game. He was played out of the game by the pass that fell into Hugh Jones on... right into his stride, into his lap. It was a beautiful moment. So,
very good.
I can't imagine I'd be the only one to pick that.
Alan, you're not allowed that, and you're not allowed Romanian referees either. Everything else.
Okay, well, two little things then. I suppose I've enjoyed watching the rise of young back rowers, Dan Levy, Yacouba Camara with France, Negri and Paledri for the Italians.
James Haskell.
Yeah, him, Renaissance man. I've enjoyed watching those young back rowers come through, and it was just a little moment where Peter O'Mahony gave away his medal at the end of the game to young Jennifer Malone, who's a fan who's been at their training sessions quite a lot over the last year or so. Big sports fan. That was just a nice little moment there.
Barnsley? Yeah.
Russell stripped from me, so it has to be another pass. It has to go down to Ireland. It has to be Tadhg Furlong, the player of the tournament. I know it was a Joe Schmidt move, but still, the timing, the weight, everything was perfect. New Zealand are the team to beat in the World Cup, but in that moment, we saw that Ireland, with their New Zealand coach, have got front five forwards who could play like Brodie Retallack. That was very exciting for me.
Very good. And mine, England against France in Grenoble, which is the in the Women's Six Nations, a crowd of 17,000. Look at that and you wonder, well... Wouldn't that be great if we could have that at every Six Nations game for the women? And hopefully that's somewhere that they will all be heading. Alan, Alex and Barnsley, thanks very much indeed. We will be back with a Ruck next week. Thank you for listening.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.